Well, good morning again.
Good morning.
And a beautiful morning it is. I was made aware this morning that the devil doesn't like it when we go to church, especially if we go to preach. I've had a message on my heart all week, and I've been praying over it and studying his word and getting as close to God as I could in preparation to be with you this morning, and it's always a privilege. I love the atmosphere. I love the music. I love the, just the everything. And I was thinking about it. I was coming down the highway. What a joy it is to be with you all. And a mother hen turkey ran out in front of me and took out my right headlight. It was a bad hit. I couldn't stop. There was a fellow in front of me who missed her. She was determined to go across the road. And we hit hard. So hard, I thought I'd better just check and see if everything was all right. I noticed that when I went to pass another car, my blinker light went blink, 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 blink. Well, you know what that means, right? The left one went blink, blink, blink. So I pulled over. I got out. And God is my witness, the first words I thought, the first thought I had, was thank you, Lord, that it didn't hit the windshield. If it had, we might not be here this morning. I don't know. The Lord knows all about it. But I'm thankful that there's always something to praise God for. And I'm thankful that we're here by his grace today. You can place a replace a headlight. And but God is so good to us. Every day in our age, we count it a miracle to be used of him. Vicki continues to write. Our counseling ministry is growing. People are calling. Had a fellow call from down in Connecticut, pastor called, and he has a couple in his work that are in dire need of counseling and wanted to know if they moved up to our area for about 2 months, would we see them? And I said, absolutely. We don't turn anybody away. And he was relieved. He said, I've exhausted all my ways of thoughts of helping them, and I just thank God for the opportunity we have to reach these folks. I thank God for the ministry and the jail. Pray for that. It's getting harder and harder to take a stand for the Lord in there. I'm leading up to something here, but you can tell the temperature outside in the world just by seeing what's inside the prisons. We went early. This past spring, we were running about 130, 35. And we tipped this week over 200 inmates in the Merrimack County Department of Corrections. Folks, we're living in some very difficult times, difficult days. I don't want to preach a gloom and doom message. I'm going to try to turn this around. But our country is in trouble. Our world is in trouble. I hope you realize that. And I don't see anything in the book that's going to encourage us except by what we just sang about a moment ago. Trusting Jesus all the way. Trusting him every day. I want to have us turn in our Bibles this morning to a parable, first of all, in Matthew chapter 7. As a child growing up in Oxford, Maine, and having grandparents in Otisfield on a farm, at about the age of 8, I was searching for God. I wanted to know him. I've been in a liberal Sunday school ever since I can remember, which was probably around age 5, I started remembering at kindergarten, putting together some thoughts and events and things in my life as I went back and reflected. And I do reminisce a lot. I had a good childhood upbringing. even though my parents were ungodly and I was not saved, nor my brother or sister at that time. But there were some lessons along the way that I learned that I cherished deeply, and that is going to Sunday school and learning some of the songs and the hymns, and I love music. I appreciate so much the music here. You're not going to find this in every church, folks, I can tell you. The world's got into our churches now, and, you know, trying to keep up with the beat and the foolishness of actions and so forth that go along with it all, just trying to bring people into the church, and that's not the way God ordained it. There is an honoring, we sang about it here, glorifying God in everything that we do. But I remember going to Sunday school, and I can remember learning different choruses and things that have always stuck with me. And one of them, and I didn't even know this until I got saved, that what I'm about to say from Matthew chapter 7 was even in the book. And yet, how many of you ever sang the song about the wise man and the foolish man? Nobody ever told me anything about that. I just sang it, you know. But I want us to read it, and I want us to think about some things here, because we're going to take this to another level this morning. And there were two places in the Bible. We'll look at the second one in a moment. But Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 24, it says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings," now this is Jesus speaking here, and he's saying, whoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them. One thing to hear something, it's another thing to do it. Now, if you're here today and you don't know Christ, all you know is to hear it. You just hear about it. You hear it being read. But then Jesus is saying, these sayings of mine are important. Look, do them. Do them. Notice, go on with me, if you will, in verse 24, "I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came up, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." Founded upon a rock. "And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand." Oh, that God would have told me what this meant at ages 7, 8, 9, 10. "The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes." Now go over with me to the parallel passage. And When I got saved, you know my testimony at Bob Jones University, September 6, 1961. When I got saved, one of the first courses that I took at Bob Jones, majoring in missions, was parallel of the scriptures. That's not the word. Lost the word I'm looking for there. It'll come to me. But anyway, of the Gospels, we see parallel passages. And here, the Holy Spirit wrote through the author Luke, Dr. Luke, this same parallel. Notice here in verse 47, chapter 6, beginning in verse 47 to 49, he says, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house. And he dig deep, laid the foundation," notice, where? On a rock. On a rock. When the flood came and arose, when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man without a foundation, built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of the house was great. At ages probably 7, 8, 9, all I got out of that was the actions. Boy, that was fun. You know, the rains came down and the floods came up. And since I got saved, I learned there's another verse, but they didn't know that verse in my Sunday school. And that is praying. The prayers go up and the blessings come down and, you know, all that good stuff. Nobody ever told me about that until I was 17 years of age. But I want us to focus on something this morning, two words. Terra firma. Who wants to jump out on the limb with me this morning and define what terra firma means in our language? It means what?
Solid ground.
Solid ground. You got it. Solid ground. Terra? Yeah, that's turf. Ground. Solid ground. I want us this morning to focus our message today on the matters of being on solid ground in 2024. I said a moment ago, our world is in a mess. I heard it in the voice of one of your folks this morning as you opened up the service that we need to get back to some real fundamental preaching and teaching of what it means when we sing about the rock. One of my favorite songs is The Solid Rock. I love music. I love to hear you play music. I hadn't heard the song here this young man played for a long, long time. I appreciate that. God bless you for that. That was wonderful. The men were playing familiar songs this morning in practicing. What was that? Something? What did I lose?
Something? Water bottle.
Oh, my water bottle. Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you. Oh, thank you. Go over with me, if you will, just as we get into the message this morning in Psalm 62. Psalm 62. I want us to read just three verses here, 47 through verse, I'm sorry, Psalm 62, verse 5 through 8. Psalm 62, and beginning in verse 5. Psalm 62, verse 5, the psalmist says, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only," only it says, "he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved." There's so many hymns that have been written and messages that have been preached about the rock, Jesus Christ. Rock of ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Oh, yeah. Understand this morning, there's a huge difference between the solid rock and quicksand. When I grew up, I spent a great deal of time on a farm. My grandparents' farm actually was my biological, I guess you would call her, grandmother and a step-grandfather whom she married after her husband passed. My brother and I spent many a day on that farm, and down over the, I remember, I see it, in fact, I drove by it just this week. We were over in our area in Maine, and it's a little pond on a particular road, and my farm looked down over that, as well as the backdrop of that farm that my grandfather and grandmother, biological grandmother, lived on. And there was a little pond down there. And we spent a great deal of time, my brother and I, and my sister very little time, but my older brother and I spent a great deal of time on that farm. And my grandparents used to describe that little pond that they could see down there as having no bottom. The bottomless pond. Now, as an 8, 9, 10-year-old boy, I'm pretty gullible. There's got to be a bottom, right? But apparently, I don't know how, why they said that to me, but honestly, it got me to thinking about a bottomless pond. I like to be on the water, but I'm a little nervous when I don't understand about there's no bottomless pond, no bottom to the pond. And as I thought about that, solid ground means quite a lot to me. And it did as a child. Put my feet on a solid ground or solidness, firm, I'm talking. We need stability in our lives. We need stability in our actions. We need consistency. Folks, we're getting so far away from it, it's not even identifiable anymore. There doesn't seem to be any standards anymore. Anything goes. Doesn't matter. Things that were considered wrong 60 years ago, today are being considered right. Now watch this. There's something going on here. Moral decisions that we face today were not even considered as possibilities 30 years ago. Now, I'm not a gloom and doom preacher, but I believe in warning those whom God has given me the opportunity to minister to that we're in trouble. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And that's only the sure ground that we have this morning. The only reason that I'm here today is I believe the Word of God. And the Word of God brings hope to me. It brings life to me. I experienced salvation, as I said, at Bob Jones University when I was there as a student, my first year. I realized the importance of what this parable of the house built upon the rock truly is and what it needs to be in my life, the solidness, the solid rock. I love that song, and I sing it often, when I'm traveling or whatever, I'm alone with the Lord. But just as stability is necessary underfoot to navigate, if you will, or whatever, so also stability in our lives is necessary for our spiritual safety. Little attention is being given to our spiritual safety today. Here's the question. Can we find stability for our lives in the 21st century? Is that possible? Think about it as I run down through some thoughts this morning, just brief thoughts, but I feel they're so important that I leave them with you, having been commissioned to do so by the Lord. Spiritual stability requires belief in the unchangingness of the Word of God. Aren't you glad His Word doesn't change with the weather? Huh? You wake up some morning and it's pouring down rain and you read and you would get one interpretation and you see the sun shining and you go the other way and, you know, you do a 180 and... Not so with God. Not so with God. I don't know how the world, honestly. Like I said, I was saved on September 6, 1961 at Bob Jones University, and my life changed. I was hungry for God for a lot of years. I attended every church in Oxford except the Catholic Church. Just to be fed. Just to know truth. God's order established from the creation of the world never changes, my friends. How many of you witnessed this past week, the eclipse? Just about everybody must have run outdoors, looked up, hope they had glasses on. I marveled at that. So the wonderfulness of God, how there we were able to enjoy one of His majesties, if you will. God's plan for marriage and childbearing and training. Listen, it doesn't change from when it began. It's the world that's changing it. It's the ideas that are coming forth that God has no plan in it. I think also of God's plan to love and forgive each other and to honor authority. Listen, that's never changed. And it won't change because God doesn't change. His Word doesn't change. I know of nothing else I could say about it. God's Word was written for the past. It was written for the present. And it's written for the future. Know it. Love it. Apply it to your life. Share it with somebody else. Don't be selfish. We all have families. I'm sure if I asked, I bet there are many of you who have never had an opportunity or never taken the opportunity to share Christ with somebody. And that's what we're left to do. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your heavenly Father and glorify Him. We have a job to do while we're here. We're privileged to be here, even in the times that we're living and the confusion. God has a plan for your life as a believer. If you're here today without Christ, realize the consequences of your sin and understand that there was a loving God who loved you so much that He sent His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus, to the cross to pay. That you'd have life and have it abundantly. Not one of us are guaranteed one more breath. How about it? Are you saved this morning? Do you know Christ as your Savior? Can you remember a time and a place when you asked Him into your life? If so, if it's so important to you, what about your family? We all have lost loved ones. I do in my family. And we pray for them consistently. I trust you do the same, that they might know the joy of knowing Christ and a home in heaven. Concerning the testimonies I have known of old, that Thou hast founded them forever and ever, the psalmist says in Psalm 119. Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven, Psalms 119:89. Let the word of God be your guide. Love it. Cherish it. But don't keep it to yourself. Share it with somebody else. Every day, I should say every day that I go into the prison, I only go twice a week now, but my heart is to see those inmates saved. That's all God has put me in there for. And I look for every opportunity I can. I look for every way that I can to come around and to bring them around. Some of them are in there and they're hungry. They want truth. Even the staff. More recently, I've been there. I just started in my 7th year. And even the staff are asking questions. Took 7 years. But God knows my heart. I have nothing special. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I want everyone in there to know that. And to know, too, that God loves them. Spiritual stability requires a very important ingredient, and that is it requires obedience to God. Obedience to God. One of the songs that I learned as a child in congregational Sunday school, it didn't really preach the gospel. It was all by works. We used to sing the song Obedience even then. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe, and I'm asking myself today, what did I believe? Oh, if I was a good boy, and if I honored my mom and daddy, and if I came to Sunday school, I can go to heaven. Chapter and verse. Don't look for it. You won't find it. All those things were good. But I was missing out on the fact that I was a sinner. And I needed to be saved. And nobody ever told me how to be saved in that particular environment. I'm thinking of the whole world falling into wickedness. But yet there was one man who had not yielded to the evil influences around him. I'm not going to ask you which one. There are several, but I've chosen a couple just to make comment on this morning. Number one is Noah. What a fool. Building that boat. What a fool. But he had unwavering faith in God. Now, people today I'm meeting and I'm witnessing to on the streets, they say they have faith in everything else but God. How sad can that get? How sad can that be? Noah's unwavering faith in God propelled him to build a boat on dry land and face the mockery of the doomed world. But he did it. Praise God. He obeyed. We sing a song. Sunday school, church, obedience is the very best way to what? Show that you believe. Doing exactly what God commands and doing it happily.
Rain today. I don't know what to do.
That's not very happy. The world doesn't need to know all your problems. In fact, if you have the Lord Jesus, the Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your works and glorify your heavenly Father. Keep that in mind as you leave today. What about the person you'll meet on the way home? Do they know the Lord Jesus? I don't know. And you don't know either without asking them. I see you have a very good track record right here. Listen, those tracks are doing nothing sitting there. Oh, you may have a stranger off the street come in and he might be glancing at something and one of them might just kind of touch him a little bit. He might pick it up, but hey. What's wrong with leaving one or giving one? The good news of the gospel. God is not willing, by the way, that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What about your family? The hardest ones to reach, your family. I'm sure most of us have unsaved loved ones. Do they see Christ in us? Are they finding hope in us? I titled my message this morning, Terra Firma, and I did so when I first thought about solid ground, terra firma. I thought about quicksand. And as I grew up, we'd be driving along in the car, and my mom and dad and my brother and my sister and myself, and they'd keep bringing up quicksand. And I don't know about you, but that's probably one of the good, would be, to me, it put the biggest fear in my life as a child, that there's something had no bottom to it. Now, as I said earlier, there's probably a bottom somewhere. But you know, Christ is the rock of our salvation. Solid rock. I love the songs, and I was glancing through your hymn book there, and every book has certain categories of songs that are alike. And one of the other ones that came to mind, or I happened to glance at, is the Solid Rock. Listen. That's Jesus. And this is what the world needs today. Our world is fast removing him from everything. And yet, without him, you and I would be nothing. You realize that? Without him? Again, I'm not a gloom and doom preacher, but I want to tell you something. Things have changed since I got saved. I don't know the date of your salvation. If you're saved here this morning, you had a date, you remember the time and the place, and possibly an event or something took place in your life. And I can remember when there was great respect for authority. I can remember when there was decency. I can remember that. Of course, at my age, the Bible was being taught, and I can't remember when the Bible was not read in our schools, and the prayer, the Lord's Prayer, was prayed, and morals and standards were being taught in the home. Dear friends, can we still have that stability today? Yes, I believe we can. On Christ the solid rock I stand. Now, I can't imagine dying by quicksand. Quicksand was a threat to my brother and my sister and me. We liked to go to the beach. We liked to go boating. We liked all of that. But it was programmed in our minds that probably the worst way to die would be to go into quicksand. And when I got saved, I want to tell you something. I shouted about the solid rock, knowing that there is a bottom. Just knowing that there's a bottom. It can be 150, 200 feet deep. But as long as there's some place to fetch up on. And it all came alive to me in the Word of God when I realized that Jesus is that rock. He's the rock of my salvation. And I trust you know him today as your rock as well. I think of others in the scripture, Joshua, for example. He was a leader that faced the same choices that we face today. He said, choose you this day whom ye will serve, but as for me and my house, we will, what? Serve the Lord. By example, as a Christian, are we demonstrating the life that the Lord wants us to show the world? I know it's not popular, but I'm not in a popularity contest this morning. When I see an opportunity in that prison, when I see an opportunity in the marketplace, I think I may have told you this one time before I was here, but it's as simple as John 3:16. That was the first verse I can ever remember learning. But God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's the verse I was saved. That's the verse I use in the prison all the time. And I got to tell you, I've been there 6 years now, and it's not me. So don't say, well, he's patting himself on the back. No, I'm not. I'm giving God every bit of glory. I have never been refused to give that gospel tract and to explain it to hundreds and hundreds of inmates. And well over 100 now have asked Christ into their life because of that. That's the power of God. That's his word. Look, I don't know what your life's verses are, but I hope you got one. And I hope when you see someone, you can say, look, I just want to tell you what God has done for me. I don't condemn anybody. That's not my job. My job is to give them the truth of the Word of God and let God do the work. Some people are afraid to give out a gospel tract, but there's other ways of doing it. And I remind everybody when I go to different churches, those tracts over there are doing nobody any good. I don't know who tends it, but they ought to be filling it every week. If you can't give it to them personally, put them in the mail. Leave them in places. Many have chosen to turn their backs on God's word and even God himself. They've turned their back on him. They need spiritual stability. Terra firma, another way of putting it. Solid ground. And by the way, Christ is the only hope. That's what this world needs right now. As upside down as it is, I still believe. I still believe, and I'll do this to my last breath. I believe God can write it. But he needs you and me. We need to be busy. I know you're working now to find a pastor. You're reaching out, and I trust in inviting folks and have a plan to invite others to come and to hear the word of God. Listen, people are more open right now to the gospel, I find, than ever before in my lifetime, and I'm 80 years old. I can't remember a time when people were so receptive. They want something. No, they all don't say, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, but there's ways around that too. If you're trusting God, you can get the word out. He makes that possible. Believe me. God speaks through his word. He speaks also through the Holy Spirit. And as a believer, we are indwelt with his presence. We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. When you got saved, if you're here today and you know Christ, you have every bit of the Holy Spirit you need. The question is this, does he have every bit of us and me? I have to ask me that myself every day. I have a lot of hobbies. Hobbies are good if they're healthy hobbies. And I try to take every one of them to the next level and bring the Lord in because it's him that gave me that interest. And I want him to get the praise. All right? It's not just preaching. I do. I'm a ham radio operator. I've been a ham radio operator now over 50 years. And I always send gospel tracts to those that I make contact with. I don't care if it's stateside or if it's around the world. I want people to know Jesus. I want them to know what he's done for me and my family and my life. I'm not perfect. There's not a perfect soul in the world. And I'm not going to be one tooting my own horn here, but I'm just saying opportunities will avail themselves because the Holy Spirit living and dwelling in you will make sure you have opportunity to share Christ. If you want to. I pray when I go into that driveway at the prison, Lord, lead me to some soul today. Help me, Lord, I pray. And he's never failed me yet. Be it a fellow worker or be it an inmate, we have the Holy Spirit. God speaks through preaching. Get as much preaching as you can get. I'm talking about good preaching now. There's a lot of false preaching, a lot of false teaching out there. Be careful. Try the spirits, the Bible says. Be careful. A couple more. God speaks through our conscience. I was saved September 6, 1961, and I can honestly say before you and God this morning that when I've been in tune with God, when I've been in his word, when I've been in prayer, if I do something that's not glorifying to God, he reminds me of it. That's the Holy Spirit working in my conscience. Today, people have gotten to the point where, and I remember studying this in Bible college about the conscience in our psychology class and how the conscience can be seared. And yeah, I think it can be. We can ignore it to the point where we're just ignoring the Holy Spirit as a believer. We're not trusting him to lead us and to guide us. He told us he would. When we sin, we feel guilt and shame. Should. If we have the Holy Spirit in our lives, let me tell you something, folks. He's spanked me many a time. But I'm so happy that 1 John 1:9 is still in the book. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us. Cleanse us. Get it? From all unrighteousness. What a joy. What a joy it is to be a Christian. And lastly, I believe God teaches us the truth of terra firma, being on solid ground. He teaches us through the law of sowing and reaping. Now stay with me in closing. When we fail, and I have failed, and I will admit it too many times, but when we fail to live according to God's will in our lives, I've settled, as an early Christian, I didn't deliberately try to get away with living my own way, but I was new. I got saved at Bob Jones University September 6, 1961. And I had some struggles going back out into the world as a new Christian. I'm thankful for the 4 years, actually for five years, I guess, I was there under the sound teaching of the Word of God. I don't know what I'd have been like if I had gotten saved in the street corner somewhere and somebody just left me there, brother. That would not have been good because I did have some hang-ups and some needs in my life. But when we fail to live according to God's will, we must realize we, as a Christian, we're going to face some outcomes that become increasingly difficult to deal with. In fact, I will go one step further, impossible in the flesh to deal with. The flesh is a very strong part of our obeying the Lord and wanting to obey God and wanting to do right. Relationships fracture when we fail to live according to God's will. As a pastor now, well, I lost count after 50. I stopped counting, but I still consider myself somewhat of a pastor through our counseling. But as a pastor, I see in a counselor, I see relationships fractured. I see emotional problems. I see health problems. Ill health can result as a living according not to God's will. There are a lot of things that come to us, a lot of folks that come to us with addiction problems. They can overtake. By the way, I have people in jail that are struggling today. Even though they trust Christ, they don't understand the principle of sowing and reaping. Whoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He can reap to destruction. It's possible. God uses difficult outcomes for our choices to arrest our attention. Lots of times we're placed in situations where God says, hey, and he gives us a spanking. Don't ignore those spankings. Pretty hard to. I don't know how about you, but when I grew up, paddle was always there. We joke about the board of correction, but I'll tell you what, it never did me harm. My mom and dad loved my brother and my sister and me to the end. But they were disciplinarians. I knew what it was to disobey the paddle. God uses difficult outcomes in our choices. We desire to find a path of healing and blessing by him. Listen, God loves you this morning. If you're here today, maybe out of fellowship with God, I pray you're saved. If not, you need to get saved. But also you need to understand that there is responsibility. We trust Christ as our Savior. We sing that little chorus, obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Doing exactly what God commands, doing it, what? Happily. It's a hard lesson sometimes. But God loves you this morning. Do you want stability in your life? Do you want that solid ground, that terra firma as a believer? I believe it's possible. I believe it's possible. Stability to live in an unstable world. And I can honestly say at 80 years old, I've never seen our world as unstable as it is today. And yet, with God, all things are possible. Your life can be stable today. You can be rejoicing evermore. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, would you come to him? We're happy to show you from the Word of God the importance of knowing God, trusting him. If you're here today as a Christian, maybe you just need to re-up with him. Ask him to show you the areas of disobedience in your life. Don't put it off. You'll only be happy when you're right with God as a believer. I've had to find that out the hard way. There's only one way, and that's through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's made it possible. We have to hope we can know for sure. Thank you for the opportunity of bringing his word to you again. 1 John 2:17 says, he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. about his will for your life this morning? You say, well, I'm just hanging on. I think he's got more for all of us than hanging on. We're living in some tough times. And I'm not a gloom and doom preacher, but I want to say it's real. It's real. And I believe his coming is soon. Are you ready to meet him? As a Christian, are you serving him? Are you loving him? Are you praying? Are you reading your Bibles? I know you're attending church. You wouldn't be here this morning. There's so much we can do. By the grace of God, let's do it together. Let's stand together and be dismissed in prayer, shall we? Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your word. God, it's all we have today is your word, and we thank you that you're the loving God that you are, just to allow us to have it and open it and read it, study it. May today our hearts be challenged, Lord, to seek that terra firma, that solid ground in our lives, that we might be an effective witness and testimony wherever we go. We thank you for the opportunities that we have. And Lord, they're new every day. Your mercy is new, and your opportunities that you give us to serve you are new. Lord, help us not just to be satisfied with the status quo, but Lord, help us to be burdened for the lost around us. I thank you for the opportunity that we have, Lord, in the printed page, the tracts, and the Lord, our testimony, if we're here today and knowing Christ. And again, if there's one here that doesn't know him, may today be that day of salvation. Thank you again for this church, Lord. I pray that you'd bless it in the need of finding a pastor, Father. You would lead and guide and direct those, Father, that are in charge. And Lord, that your man would be here soon and work with these dear people. And thank you for their faithfulness. Lord, I just pray a blessing upon each and every one as we go our separate ways. In Jesus' name.